This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 1 hour left here, 9 to noon every single Saturday. Warriors This Week, Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe. This from the Comcast Business text line. From the 510, and this is the conversation I think, you know, we're trying to get into as the Warriors prepare to take on the Houston Rockets at 5 o'clock tonight. Warriors live an hour before 4 o'clock. Tim Roy on the call and then post-game right here on 95.7 The Game. Do you guys think that Brennan Pajemski will ever be an all-star? If I had to bet, no, I wouldn't. But that doesn't mean that he can't help the Warriors win. In fact, if I'm looking at the Warriors right now in their roster, they have one all-star. It's Steph Curry. Even if the Warriors get off to such as an 18-2 start like they did the year they won the championship, let's say at the All-Star break, if it's, I don't know, 50 games into the season, the Warriors could be 35-15. I think they still only have one All-Star. And that's what I think we're learning about this group is the whole, is the team a greater than the sum of its parts? Like, is it greater than the individuals? Because I don't think they're more talented than, say, the Houston Rockets, who they play tonight at 5. The Houston Rockets have a ton of young talent, but I think the Warriors are going to win this game tonight because they're a better team, even though they don't have Curry.
Well, we're going to find out a lot more about this quote-unquote team starting tonight. And I think Houston's a really good and interesting matchup because I think Houston, if things go according to plan, and we're buying in that the Warriors are going to be a good team this year, I think Houston's going to be one of those teams, along with Sacramento, maybe Memphis, that the Warriors, the Lakers, the Warriors are going to be yo-yoing and jostling for position, maybe teams 5 through 11, depending on the night and the matchup, that they're going to be going back and forth. And I think one of those teams could be, not only could be, but maybe their arch rival in sort of, you know, positioning, whether it's for the 5 or the 6 or the 7 seed, is going to be the Houston Rockets. And Houston's a very, very good team. And much like that of a lot of teams in the West, they're young and they're getting more mature, which is a scary combination. You know, what's interesting is that when I look at the landscape of the West, and we talk about how talented they are, but there's going to be some teams that I think, and namely, keep an eye on Denver. Denver could be one of those teams that falls back to the pack. And I think you could see someone like Houston potentially replacing a Denver and ascending into that top 3 or 4 or 5 if they have a breakout year. But I think Houston and the Warriors are going to be two teams that are going to be jockeying for positioning when it comes to the NBA playoffs throughout the entire season.
Yeah, and the Houston Rockets, like I asked you the question earlier, who do you think win more games, the Lakers or the Warriors? And I think they're easier to compare because, you know, they have aging stars.
You're talking about the Lakers.
Yeah, they've been in similar positions. But as far as, like, the Vegas win totals, the Warriors and the Rockets, I think, were pretty close. Mm-hmm. I think the Rockets over-under was 43.5. Or 43, and the Warriors was 44 or 44.5. So they're very close. I do think tonight's not going to tell us who's going to win more games over 82. But I think it'll give us a glimpse into which style works. Yeah, I mean, well, Curry's out. But like, I still feel confident that the Warriors can win this game tonight, even though the Rockets, on paper, are probably much better. I mean, they're whole.
I wish I could tell you that I agree with you or I disagree with you, but quite frankly, I have no idea what the hell to expect. And that's sort of the beauty of this team, is that they're fun again, and they're enjoyable. I really don't know what's going to happen or what's going to unfold or who's going to be an unlikely star. And that's sort of been their MO up to this point. I mean, it could be another breakout game for, I don't know, Buddy Hield.
Well, they're going to need Buddy to score tonight. Without Curry, you need someone to fill it up.
Yeah, Buddy Hield's got to score. Lindy Evans going to break out again?
Waters.
Or Lindy Waters, excuse me. It's Lindy Evans.
I don't know. I know Tyreek Evans, Reggie Evans, Evan Mobley. But the thing about the Warriors is that, like last season, and this is why I do, like I know we had Austin calling earlier and, you know, still hesitant, you know, wants to see more. I get that. But let's say the Warriors win tonight. They're 5-1. Last year, they were also 5-1. It's a different 5-1. And I know that sounds maybe homerish, but last year, Steph Curry had to be the guy for every single game. He was the leading scorer the first 11 games of last season, win or loss. This year, Buddy Hield has been the leading scorer for 4 of 5. Could that change tonight? Yes. Andrew Wiggins is probably back because he's been the other leading scorer. That was in the Warriors' lone loss. But Wiggins can lead on a given night. I think Kuminga has the ability to lead on a given night if he's given the runway. Buddy Hield has already shown that he can score 20-plus points per game if they need him to. The Warriors...
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have a lot of different ways to make up what has been an offensive void whenever Curry misses games. And I think also to your point earlier about their defense, they're not just a team that's going to let you score 110, 120 easy. Last year, if they were playing the Rockets right now, I would feel pretty good that the Rockets would win that game without Steph, because the Rockets will get up and down, they will run, and they would just pulverize the Warriors. But this year, there's something about their versatility that lends me to believe that even if they're having an off shooting night, that they'll do enough defensively to stay in the game. And they even proved against the Pelicans on the night that the Pelicans actually were healthy when they had McCollum as well as Herb Jones, that a 20-point lead is not insurmountable.
The Warriors are so unlike any other Warrior team over the last, I don't know, maybe since Steve Kerr has been here. This is so different.
Were you thinking of Linda Evans? That's from the text line.
No, who's that? Oh, Linda, wasn't she a star from Dynasty, Linda Evans?
Yeah. Sorry.
This is just such an unusual basketball team for the Warriors because it's not star-centric right now. It will be because I think Steph will be Steph at the end of the day. But right now, it's so fun, man. And I really do think, and I'm not jumping on Clay, but I think his removal has a lot to do with what it is that we're seeing right now. Because what jumps out at me when I watch the Warriors, it's not, yeah, Buddy Hield's making threes, and Lindy Waters has been a remarkable story, Podziemski's on the floor again, but it's just the energy. It's palpable, man. It just is like, whoa, what's going on here? They suffocate defensively, and now they're young, and they can get up and down the floor. And then they just keep coming at you with the wave of guys. So you never have to worry about load management. You never have to worry about minutes. It's just a different guy that's going to suffocate you. And if he's not doing his job, if he's not up to snuff for a certain game, then somebody else, it's interchangeable. And again, I just think up to this point, while we talk about sustainability, is this team going to be able to do this? Are they going to be relevant and get back to me in a month or 2 months or 3 months? As of right now, they're fun as hell. And I'm all in, man. I cannot wait to see what's going to unfold tonight. Because fun has finally returned back to the Golden State Warriors. And I think a lot of it has to do with Grumpy Clay getting out of town. And not only his attitude, but I just think physically, you couldn't play like this. Clay is just so Clay-centric. Like, if I hit my first three, feed me. Because, you know, I scored 37 and a quarter once. And one of the reasons why I'm out on Dallas this year is that, yeah, maybe you can hide Kyrie and Luka defensively for a while, as they did last year. And they got much better defensively. But the three of them, Clay, Kyrie, and Luka, I saw Luka in a possession. I saw two things, actually, as I was strolling through watching NBA games that jumped out at me. Before I lose my train of thought, I'm going to give them both to you. One of which is, like, Luka just gets beat, literally, with his finger up his nose on the defensive possession. Somebody just went backdoor on him, and he's just like, huh, what? And then Clay just simply can't physically, he can't move laterally like he once did. And then Kyrie's Kyrie. He wants the ball in his hands, and, you know, he's not a very good defender and never has been. And that's going to catch up when your best three players can't give you anything on the defensive end. The other thing in watching and just perusing around the NBA channels, I watched San Antonio for about half a quarter. And I think there's got to be an edict
the OKC
San Antonio
game.
The OKC game.
Yeah.
And I would say that if I'm Popovich, I'm sitting down my young team and I'm telling them, look it, my man, Wembanyama, has to have at least one touch on every possession. I tuned into this game. I saw five consecutive possessions where whether it was Zach Collins or Keldon Johnson that are jacking up like a 30-footer with two guys on him. I'm like, I don't want to see this. Give him the ball. At least let him touch the ball. If you've got Victor Wembanyama and you're the San Antonio Spurs, the way they're currently constructed, he should touch the ball at least once on every possession.
That I agree with. But it's funny watching the Spurs now. All right. Last night, went out with a couple buddies, had a pop, went back to the apartment, and, you know, among some other medicinal activities, we were watching, we queued up a few YouTube videos, and I noticed that one of the videos or string of videos that they were watching was...
Is that what your generation does now?
What?
You come home and you watch YouTube?
Well, I had to wake up early for the show, Dan. I wasn't trying to go out until 2 a.m.
I'm just saying.
I've been known to do. But the videos that they were watching were of the 2014 Spurs. Like, they had like several videos in a row. The beautiful game, the San Antonio Spurs. And you watch these videos, and, you know, you're a little in
that finals against Miami was just that was beautiful. They just dissected that team.
And as I'm sitting there enlightened, I'm being enlightened to how they were so damn good. Everyone touched the ball on every possession. Boris Diaw was in like every single one of these highlights. Thiago Splitter, not a great individual player.
Terrible.
But he knew how to pass the ball. These Golden State Warriors play more like those Spurs teams than this Spurs team plays like that Spurs team. These Golden State Warriors this year already, that's the thing that I do believe gives me, it gives me some confidence that their sustainability is that everyone touches the ball. And even when Buddy Hield is jacking up shots, and like on Tuesday night, he was 1-for-9, he's going to have the same confidence coming out of the second half to just gun and run. But everyone still touches the ball on these possessions. Now, not literally, but you know what I'm saying. Like, no one feels like they're on an island when they're playing for this particular team. Even Wiggins, in the few games that he's played so far, looks like he's more engaged as far as moving the ball. Now, he still doesn't rebound as much as I'd like, and, you know, the assist numbers are not going to be Chris Paul. But even some of the players that you typically think about just siloing in on and looking at, Kuminga, Wiggins, as just being kind of, you know, holes with the ball, right? You get the ball to them, that ball goes up, and no one else touches it on that possession. That's not the same case anymore. And so I was just thinking about that watching the 2014 Spurs. Like, these guys move the ball so damn well. They have three Hall of Famers and a Hall of Fame coach and all the rest, but no one ever felt like they were out of the play because they might touch it at any time. Yeah. And that's what this Warriors team feels
like. No, it's fun, man. This is enjoyable to watch again. And I'm just, maybe it's just me, but and you know this and doing enough shows, and especially during the off season, I'm just out on things being centered around these stars. Like I love this version of the Warriors, and who knows how far they'll go. But I'd rather watch this than Lauri Markkanen strapped to this team for the next 10 years and some crazy contract and half of these kids out the door. And the same holds true with Paul George, Jimmy Butler, all those names that were bandied about. This version of the Golden State Warriors is enjoyable when everybody's, and it's very reminiscent again of what Steve Kerr is, and it's sort of a reflection of his sojourn as a player, is that you've got to earn your minutes. That's how I played. You know, Steve Kerr's like, that's how I got into games in San Antonio and Chicago, is that I had to prove myself. And that's exactly what this team is all about. Aside from maybe two guys, if you're going to get run, then you've got to play well. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, not everybody has to earn their minutes. But I do think that with everyone else playing as much as they have, it appropriately suppresses the two guys that the minutes are pretty much just allocated to them, and that's Curry and Draymond. Curry's 36, or going to be 36. Draymond is either 33 or 34.
It's 35.
They're in the back end of their careers, yeah. Point being. Those guys don't need to be playing, especially this young in the season, 30 to 35 minutes a game if they don't have to. Curry's out. He's not going to play tonight in Houston. If the Warriors don't need Draymond to play 30-plus, I think they can still win basketball games. You know, Draymond, I don't even know if he's cracked the 30-minute mark. He may have in the second game against New Orleans when he put the clamps on Zion Williamson. Who, by the way, I do have an affinity for players that you know exactly what they're going to do, and still they have a way to get it done. Like, everyone knows Zion's going left.
Yeah.
And he can still get to his left hand with the best of them. Like, on Tuesday, that first game they played, he scored 31 points. Half of it was just putting his shoulder down and getting to the cup. Draymond was really good against him the night after. But, God, Zion just infatuates me. I love him.
You like Zion?
I do like Zion.
Yeah.
I also think he's a smarter player than he gets credit for. Maybe I'm just thinking about what he did at Duke, but he's a really good passer. He is, I think, a capable defender when he's engaged. He's certainly big enough to be, and he's heady. I just don't think he plays with a team that really maximizes him, to be honest.
Well, I think Willie Green and the Pelicans are a good team. I think that, much like last year, they're going to get either towards the middle part of the season or the latter part of the season and then just throw it into another gear. Or all of a sudden it's like Zion and Brandon Ingram. And then when Trey Murphy is a hell of a player, when he comes back. And DeJounte Murray, I haven't seen enough of him, I guess, with that team to know whether he really fits. I know he's a big scorer in Atlanta, but you know, you got to be more than that if you're really going to win. So actually, Brandon Ingram, I was reading something interesting about him, that Brandon Ingram is just a guy that can shoot over you. And a lot of people thought that, oh, Brandon Ingram was going to be this guy who can, he can pass, he can get to the rim, he's got this great mid-range, and he can shoot open threes, and if he has a smaller man, he'll shoot over you. But there's not a lot more to his game than that.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's not somebody, because he was rumored as a potential trade piece to the Warriors. I'm not a big Brandon Ingram guy. And plus, he checked out on that team at the end of last year.
He did. And I also, I don't know, I kind of feel like he wonders what his future role is going to be with that team. And which is why he might also be playing a little more, not selfishly, but I think Brandon Ingram's game is good for Brandon Ingram. I have yet to see if it's good for the rest of the team. He's a talented player.
You know, we have the MPF, the most punchable face. We've got to have an MSF, the most stoned face, because he'd be right at the top of that list.
Clay is up there.
Clay
is up there. Someone like Buddy Hield doesn't look high, but he kind of plays high, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, that ball will go up as quick as it's in his hand. And it doesn't really matter from where, especially if he sees one go down.
So why isn't that guy? I follow Buddy Hield about as much as, well, maybe you followed him more than me. I knew about his career. I know that he couldn't get off the bench in Philadelphia last year. Is this just one of those where it's just sort of a Sam Darnold, you just had to be unlocked? Is he now in a system where you recognize, you know, what it is that you can do, and it's just a matter of you, you know, being in the right sort of environment and us providing you all the pieces?
I mean, I don't think he's going to shoot 50% from three for the whole year.
But he's a better than 40% career shooter from three.
He is. No, he's a marksman, especially if he's closer to 42 or 43. Like, he's going to have some more big games for the Warriors. But Buddy, the thing that I've honestly been the most impressed with, which brings us back to one of my larger takeaways from the 4-1 start, it's how well he's played defensively. I was sold this bill of goods that he was a traffic cone, that he couldn't guard a chicken. You know, he couldn't guard anybody. And that's not necessarily been the case. Now, he's not going to be on any all-defensive teams, but he tries hard. He'll fight through screens. And I think he also does a pretty good job of running guys off the three-point line, which he can control, which is just effort. And then the Warriors' front line between TJD and Draymond are right there to sort of step in and close the space and not allow easy baskets. So, you know, I don't know if it's the fit as much as he's kind of bought in. But yeah, Buddy Hield seems like he's in La La Land. Like, he loves this place.
If he continues to shoot, not at a 50% clip,
he's scoring like 22 a night. I think that's going to come down too.
That I don't know. I mean, we're looking for that guy who can give you 20 a night, and we overlooked Buddy Hield and him and Steph. This is interesting.
The splash buddies.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen with all of these pieces, but this is captivating. And I got up today and I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy who's going to get on the air saying this isn't sustainable, throw water on this thing, saying, let's see, get back to me when they're in a close game, get back to me after, you know, a tough road trip. No, I'm enjoying life as it's played out right now. I'm in the moment. And in the moment right now, the Warriors are 4-1 and beating the crap out of everybody.
Well, it's hard not to enjoy it. Again, and it's not just about the wins. It's about how they've won. And the other thing that, speaking of Buddy Hield, I think he got a bad rap because, again, I was kind of making a joke that he plays like he's high. But I think people that are chuckers or gunners typically get branded as selfish players. Buddy Hield toes the line, but he doesn't strike me as a selfish dude.
No, he's never been I don't think he's ever been labeled a selfish player. It's just that when he goes cold, he can go cold. And again, maybe it's a system thing, and I don't know that he's ever played with a shooter like that of a Steph Curry.
But wait, when you don't have your shot going and you're continuing to chuck, I think people will look at you and say, what are you doing? You're playing selfishly because you're looking for your shot, and it's
not there.
And
they'll tell you, shooters shoot. Like, I'm here to do one thing in the NBA. There's only one reason why I'm on this team. And so I'll shoot until I miss, and when I miss, you sit me down.
He took, who is the backup center for New Orleans? But he's got more of a bag than I thought. Like, he took one, was it Misi? He took their backup center off the dribble to the cup. Like, he can,
he can
score.
Yeah, he can get to the rim.
He's not just
a
shooter.
He finishes with left hand, yeah. And he's got handled, too.
More than I thought.
Yeah.
And God love him more than Clay.
You need to handle these days if you got to create your own three. I mean, you got to in order to get that step back. Speaking of the three, there's a lot of discussion these days about moving that thing back, and I'm talking about the line, and eliminating the corner three.
I think the corner three is maybe more of a problem. On the other side, I'll tell you why. I don't think moving the three-point line back would actually, I don't think it would help that much. I'll tell you why on the other side. But real quick, the guy who I want to have a handle, who thinks he has a handle, but does not have a handle, is Kuminga. Like, his bag is not as deep as even Buddy Hield's. That's something I for some reason I thought he had more, more ha-ha.
Well, I think his handle's all right.
He just kind of, he's the guy at pickup who, like, dribbles between the legs and goes around the back, and you realize he doesn't go anywhere.
Well, he's not, handle usually,
he's explosive to,
I think, because
get to the rim.
For a guy that is, usually you think of handle for smaller guys because they got to cross you up so they can get that first step so they can get to the rim. Kuminga can just do it with pure athleticism. Like, he can overpower you, and he has the speed and the quickness. You don't have to be as crafty when you're 6'7 as opposed to 6'4.
No, but there's, I feel like we assume he can just get to the rim at will, but at least so far this season, I haven't really seen that.
Oh, he He had that hell of a move. I don't know who it is. He came down on a break from the right side. I mean, he
was in transition.
It was in transition.
Maybe I'm talking more about it in the half court, but I don't know.
I think we got to get to a break.
All right, man. One more segment on the other side of Warriors this week.
I feel like Draymond here working with B. Diddy. You all right over there?
Oh, come on. Well, I mean, last night, maybe. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get on the last segment on the other side. Warriors this week is back after this.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.